get rid of the guilt. Guilt is something that will hold you back. And the only way to get rid of the guilt is to define your priorities. What do I really want? How much time do I really enjoy spending with my kids? Where do I want to put the rest of my time?
Welcome to LifeWorks, where we talk about life and work and making it work. I'm Hannah Greenstein, a From mompreneur on a mission just like yours, to live the mompreneur life that brings me feelings of balance and inner peace and joy. Here, I hold space for you in the many roles you play as a From mommy business owner. Join me for support, mindset, techniques, and tools around productivity, focus, and work-life balance so you can feel in balance and at peace. If you can find excitement and joy at work and at home, you will thrive in the roles you play and feel fulfilled by your life's work. And that's what I want for you. So let's get started. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the podcast. I think that I introduce every episode by saying that I'm so excited for you to listen because it's such a good one, but it's always true. I had the incredible pleasure of talking to Rachel or Ruchi Lebowitz, a professional EOS implementer, and we had such an incredible conversation that I'm so excited to share with you. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Rachel is, as you'll hear, a third generation female entrepreneur. She worked in her family business from a really young age. She started an Amazon business at a really young age. And throughout all of her experiences, she discovered that she has a true passion for the art and science of business. She went for a BA in business psychology and management and eventually went on to mentor other entrepreneurs on how to run their businesses more effectively. In 2015, she and her husband bought a flexible printing packaging company. 2 years in, the business was doing really well, but they were burnt out and hitting the ceiling. That is when they implemented EOS. Within 3 years, they turned around the business, grew the company from 30 to 100 employees and to $30 million in revenue. As a partner in the business, Rachel got a unique vantage point and understands the stress and emotions behind running a business. Her journey inspired her to share those tools and help other businesses like yours so you can enjoy healthy, prosperous business and life. And you'll hear more of her story, you'll hear her perspective, you'll hear her passion, and you'll hear practical tips and tools from the EOS system, and she'll explain what that is and how you can apply this approach to business in your own business. Make sure to check the show notes for the resources that she mentions, to like, rate, review, and share this episode with someone that will enjoy it, and message me. Let me know what you are implementing from this episode and how you're enjoying the podcast. Now let's dive right in. Ruchi, I am so, so excited to have you here and to hear your insight. Personally, I've been loving your content. I've been loving what I've been learning from you. And I have heard from so many women who want to hear from you. So I am just so excited to facilitate that and make it happen. Let's dive right in. Can you tell us what your journey has been? How did you get to where you are today?
Sure. So thank you so much, Hannah, for having me. This is awesome. Starting at the middle or the end, I love working with Jewish women entrepreneurs because everything I do is because of Jewish women. I love empowering Jewish women. And part of my story is me empowering myself and then using that to empower others. My career story starts as that I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. My grandmother owned a business. A lot of people that grew up in Williamsburg know my grandmother. She was called Mechelta, and she lived on Division Avenue, I think, or Roebling. I don't remember where it was two places. And she had this little store selling school supplies. And she was like this very strong, empowered woman. And she would like be very direct. And then when people tell me, oh, you're so direct, I'm like, yeah, I have her genes, you know, and I use that to empower other people. So then my parents also have a store. From a very young age, I helped my parents. And I learned, like, I feel like if you grow up in an entrepreneurial family, it's very different. You're just like, it's in my DNA, you know. And I got to learn about business from a very early stage. It made me very interested in, like, what is this business world? How do people operate? What's the science behind it? So when I was 17 years old, I got myself into college. For business science, And I loved every minute of it. I did not get to finish my full degree, got married, had kids. During that journey, I helped people with their businesses in an unofficial capacity. In 2015, my husband and I bought this business. We print plastic bags. We do potato chip bags, bread bags, pillow bags. We work with clients like Costco, Walmart for their private label lines. We work with clients like Jelly Belly and Lay's Potato Chip, right? Think about those people. So we print their bags. We were doing very well, but by 2017, we were like exhausted, overwhelmed, maxed out. The company was growing, but the profit wasn't there. We were just like, I'll never forget that summer. We both were looking at each other and we're like, let's just sell this thing. And that's when a friend introduced us to EOS. In 2018, we started EOS and we went from 18 million in revenue to 30 million in revenue to this day. We went from 30 to 100 employees. And I say like, that's very impressive. But what was the biggest, you know, bonus for me is that I got my life back and I got my husband back and I got peace of mind back. And we know where we're going and it doesn't feel so scary every day where like, my husband comes home and he's like, I think we should sell. I think we shouldn't sell. I think we should expand. I think we should downsize. But we're on this track. We know where we're going, you know? And that is what I want to bring to Jewish women in our community.
So incredible. And I, of course, love that you share that the biggest win and the biggest benefit was getting your life back because we all want that. And we know that that's our greatest priority, but we get so sidetracked by things like numbers and profits that feel like priority or authority and status and profile. We all know that our life and our family and our peace of mind and our emotional well-being is priority. And then we get really sidetracked and we very often spend our days doing things that move us closer to other things like higher profits or greater revenue or more business growth, but it doesn't align with this priority of having a life outside of it. And I think that hearing it from someone that has seen growth in both areas say, but that's the biggest win is really just a really great reminder of what's really most important.
More isn't always more. You know, I think for us Jewish women, most importantly, whatever that ideal life means for you, and you're not going to like the way I'm going to say this because I'm just outspoken in that way. Not everybody wants to be home with their kids all the time. Like, I need to get out. I need to have, you know, I believe that I have a mission to be a great mother, but I also have a mission to empower people and make a big difference in the world. And that's why I do what I do. But then we can get lost in this cycle of we don't even like enjoy our mission. We don't even know what we're doing. We're not even enjoying what we're doing. And what's the reason for that, right? So, you know, whatever people are looking for in our community, whether it's to be home more with their kids, whether it's to spend more time with family, friends, whether it's to be more time with themselves, it doesn't matter, right? Or to explore other things and go take another course and go back to college or, you know, travel, right? Whatever that is, how do you achieve that inner peace? I don't like to call it balance because balance is when you hold one thing in one hand and then the opposite in the other hand. It's like a, you know, how do you call it? A pendulum, right? And if you have too much of this, it swings. Basically, what you're saying is that it can't go together because they're opposites. And really, there should be work-life integration, right? How do we achieve that? How do we achieve that we're constantly doing what we love so that when we're doing it, we don't even feel like we're working? And we also know how to pause and step back and say, okay, I did enough.
Yeah. I have fought this out with many podcast guests that don't like the word balance. And I'm sticking with it because I agree with your point, but I don't talk about achieving work-life balance as like something that we're doing and holding. It's something you feel. It's about feeling in balance and that you only are going to feel in balance when you're acting in a way that's true to you. So that could mean working a lot of hours or working no hours. It could mean coming home at whatever time you want. That leaves you feeling inside, feeling in balance, feeling that inner balance. I think it's such a great word.
So you hit right where I want to go.
So
Let's go. But should we, before we dig into the really good stuff, can you tell us what is this magical potion that you discovered that changed everything for you? Like, can we get just a quick overview for people that don't know what is EOS?
Sure. So EOS is the Entrepreneurial Operating System. It was created by Gino Wickman. He wrote the book Traction. He discovered that he has a love for the art and science of business. And he went out after helping his parents build their business and selling it. He went out and he helped many businesses. And he said, okay, let me see what worked and what doesn't. And he took all those things and he put it into a holistic system. When people say, oh, there's nothing new here, I'm like, ha, 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 there is nothing new here. We credit Jim Collins, Van Harnish, all these great people that we took all their tools, we packaged it into a perfect system. And what we do is we help business owners manage human energy. Where do I put my priorities? What's the best way to do that? And the three things that we help them achieve is to create vision, traction, and healthy. And what vision is getting everybody in your company on the same page, where you're going and how you're going to get there. Now, if you are one person, you know, solo entrepreneur, get clear with your own vision. Write it down on a paper so it doesn't change every few months. Because you know what? Entrepreneurs are people that we get bored fast and we run from one thing to another. And if we don't define what's our core focus, what's our mission, then we get distracted by the shiny stuff. And then you find yourself 2 years later where you never achieved that big goal that you set for yourself. Now, once you have vision, you want to have traction. Traction is accountability and discipline throughout the organization or with yourself to achieve that vision. Mm-hmm. And there are many tools that we use to create traction. And traction means also that you can hold people accountable, which leads me to the last part, is healthy. Creating a healthy environment where you can hold people accountable in a healthy way. I speak to a lot of Jewish women that are business owners, and they are their employees' best friends. And they have a hard time holding them accountable. And it doesn't have to be that way, because if you work it off like KPIs, which we call a scorecard, and measurables and processes, it could be like, I'm your best friend. I love you very much. But like, this is off. Can we figure it out together? And you become a coach and you become a leader versus like somebody that's standing over another person's head and just demanding stuff to get done. So that is what EOS is all about.
Okay. So now we could really get into the juicy, the work-life balance, the way that EOS really impacts lives.
Right. So how does a business system impact lives? Like, that's a very good question. And the answer for me is that it taught me so many things. It taught me, number one, is that you must say no to a lot of things in order to be able to say yes to the things that you love. My business sales coach, Charlie Huck, which I love very much, always tells me, yes lives in the land of no. Mm-hmm. And that means like, even when you get a lot of no's from business prospects, without going through those no's, you're not going to get a yes. I was at an event the other day and a woman was like, I love what you wear. Can you design a clothing line for me? And I said, if you would have asked me 5 years ago, I would have said yes. Now I'm just really sticking to one thing. So I'm going to say no. You know, and I constantly have to say no to stuff because I'm so creative and I want to do everything, but I don't say no forever. I have an issues list. And that is where I put down all my ideas that I ever want to do. And every 90 days I look at it and I'm like, which one am I going to grab off from this list right now? And I'm going to focus on for the next 90 days, which leads me to this idea of prioritizing, learning how to prioritize in your business. Also taught me how to prioritize at home, which means looking long-term prioritizing and short-term. What do I need to do for the next 90 days? Perm is coming up, right? In my business, what do I need to do? In my personal life, what do I need to do? Short-term, the next 24 hours, the next week, right? Oh, I have this and this is on my calendar. When do I make supper, right? And putting the things that are most important first. Going even deeper, perm is coming. What's more important, bows and tiny stuff stuck on? I used to be so creative and make Mickey Mouse handmade Mishloach Manos, right? Is that most important to me right now? Or is it to get two more clients, make a big difference, and then buy something packaged, right? And done, right? In the next week, is it a priority for me to have fancy gourmet suppers, or do I just do pizza and fries and my kids are just fine? You know, I don't want to go on an off tangent, but when I talk to people and I say, because part of the work that I do is I ask them, why do you do what you do, right? And that's the third thing that I want to come to. Figure out your why. And a lot of people, they get stuck at, I want to make money. Why do you want to make money? Because I want to give my kids a better life. Kids are really happy with noodle soup and frozen pizza. Okay. My kids, I've tried it. They really don't care. They don't need fancy stuff. This Hanukkah, I didn't get them any gifts. They were perfectly fine. Last Hanukkah, I got them 8 gifts each. Most of them are in the garbage already. So be honest with yourself. Why are you doing this? Because you want to fulfill a part of yourself? Great. Figure out that purpose, cause, or passion that drives you. My purpose, cause, or passion is to empower Jewish women, whether it's empowering them to become financially literate, to empower them to learn how to be assertive and not codependent, or to empower them in business. But I'm still empowering them, right? Mm-hmm. So that is going to be my priority. And it becomes like such a bullseye, right? What's in the center? Who am I most accountable to? And my husband and my kids are there in the center. Then there is the peripheral circles. And it's like, who's next? Next is my sisters, my mom, right? People close to me, my cousins. Okay. What's next? Paying clients. They're the ones that I'm always going to put ahead of new inquiries. What's next? You know, people that inquire. And that's why we have to figure out our priorities in life. So it all goes together. What's your mission? What are your priorities? Right? What else?
So much good stuff. And I have never like formally learned about EOS. I mean, I've seen bits and pieces and a lot from you, but it's so fun to hear that so much of what I talk about with my clients is there in EOS. So we're doing some things right.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you're talking about empowering from women, and that's who Jewish women we're talking to right now. What is like the most common roadblock that you see them coming up against?
I think a roadblock that Jewish women in themselves do not realize that is their roadblock is, okay, so it's not something that they're consciously aware of, but me putting myself out there and trying to help women, what I am coming up against a lot, and again, I have no problem saying everything because I'm like an open book and I'm brazen. So yeah, if you have any feedback on this, please reach out to me on LinkedIn, on Instagram. Let me know if you disagree, you know, is that Jewish women, we are a minority within our community in the business world, right?
Yeah.
It's untrue to say that Jewish women were never in business. My grandmother, both of my grandmothers owned stores. They were both big personalities, but they were an anomaly. There weren't many Jewish women that were entrepreneurs 60, 70 years ago. Back before the war, it was non-existent, right? So it's a new era. So when a Jewish woman finally makes it, which means she took her business from hobby, a profitable hobby, I call it, and made it actually profitable. Okay. So it goes from a hobby to a profitable hobby to a real business. By the time she reaches real business status, there's two things that are happening. First of all, she's been exhausted and burnt, okay, up against a lot of walls, up against a lot of ceilings within our community, without our community, whatever. And therefore, that creates this persona of, I don't need anybody's help. I've got this. I'm doing just fine. But inside, they're falling apart. But we don't have that space where people are willing to be vulnerable and say, hey, I need help. But I need help in a real way of like emotional help for my business, not system help, not processes help, not getting fancier. I need help like not being a genius with 1,000 helpers, but to clone myself or outgrow myself from my business so I can move on, create something better, spend time with other people, etc. Most women are stuck in this genius with like an octopus, like a genius with a million hands, and they're not letting go and they're not creating this life that this business should be sustainable past them. I would love to see more women in our community creating businesses that are sustainable past themselves, which means it's sellable, it's scalable. They're not the face of their brand, where meaning they are the only one that can execute their operation. Does that make any sense?
It makes so much sense. It is so incredibly insightful. Totally not what I was expecting. And literally back to back, like right before we got on a call, I was on a call with an incredible business coach who I was talking to about what I do. And I was describing the, you know, like the problem I solve for women, the problem. And I was dividing my audience into, and I feel like I have two audiences, the women that are at the profitable hobby stage and the women that are at the real business stage. And we're talking about the real business women. I'm just like blown away that you just shared this. We're talking about the real business women, and we're talking about like the problem that my profitable hobby women have on an emotional level. So the internal problem, not like, you know, the external practical problem. And I said, I don't know if they'll resonate with this messaging. And he said, why not? And I said, they're not saying this. Like, I've never had them come to me and tell me this is their problem. And he said, they're not saying it because they're successful. They're too successful to be saying this, but of course they're experiencing it too. And then I get on and you explain it. It really hit home. I'm curious what you would say to, because you mentioned building a scalable, sellable business, what you would say to the women in our community, because I think this is really, really common, who are the face of their business because they are service providers selling, they're selling themselves. They are their talent, their creativity. How do you translate that into something scalable?
So not everybody wants to be scalable. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you're trying to ask, right? Some people want to stay small. Not everybody wants to manage employees, but how do I work in my zone of genius, I call it, right? If you're a copywriter, you want to copyright all day, every day. And this is going back to the frustration that translate into our life, our regular life, which is if you're busy doing accounts payable, accounts receivable, sales, marketing, budgeting, figuring out, you know, complex issues, then you're not having time to do what you love. And what I work with people to do is figure out what their, you know, unique ability is. What is it that they love to do and they are great at? And I walk them through this exercise, how they figure out, what don't I like to do? What do I hate doing? What am I not good at? Because the things that you're not good at, you're going to mess up most of the time. I'm really bad at scheduling flights for my husband and I, for myself. I have to travel 3 times a year for EOS training. I always mess it up. I'm going to outsource that ASAP because I'm going to be the one that's going to hurt myself. So once you figure out, what could I outsource? What could I automate, right? What do I love to do? Then you can still be the face of your company because you're just selling yourself. You figure out the time and space. How much money do I want to make? I always say, like, this is more working from the model of the book called The Company of One. I don't know if you've heard of it. So he talks about how to stay small but become very profitable. Mm. And it does not contradict with EOS. EOS is a system. It could be adapted for small businesses, big businesses. We love working with businesses that are 10 or more employees because they are the ones that would recognize the most need for it. Me being a Jewish woman, seeing these tools, I was like, oh my gosh, I need to bring this to the Jewish women in my community. I went for my training and I sat next to Gina Wickman, the founder of EOS, and I asked him, you know, Gina, what could I do that most women in our community are not 10 or more employees, 2 million or more in revenue? Am I wrong, Hannah? Most women are not there. And he looked at me and he says, well, if you could afford it, make them. So that's my mission, to go and take those tools and make it adaptable for smaller businesses so they can become more independent, not get so stuck in the day-to-day in the weeds of their business, and they can get out of the frustration and do more of what they love.
Yeah, that really, that resonates as something that, as a way to approach the profitable hobby and turn it into a real business without losing out on doing what you love and making money off your hobby. I have a question for you from a member of LifeWorks Empowered, my membership. She wanted to know, what are the foundations that a new business needs to put in place that will enable that long-term stable growth?
That is a great question. And the fact that this woman is asking this question, kudos to her. I would say, if I would have to choose the three main things, the first thing would be learn how to follow your data in a bite-sized, digestible way on a weekly basis. And we follow activity-based data. So it's not like the be-all, end-all. It's not like the result. It's how many phone calls did I make? Mm-hmm. How many of those phone calls turned into clients? When you see your ratio, I made 10 phone calls, I got one client, and that's your norm. You say, okay, so my ratio is 10 to 1. Can I up that? Or is that where I want to be? And a week where it's 20 to 1, you, what we call IDS it. You identify, discuss, and solve, and you dig down to the root cause, and you say, okay, what's the root cause here? Did I not use the tools that I have? Am I reaching the wrong market, right? So people do not understand how valuable actionable data is in a day-to-day. Like, I have a meeting with myself every Monday. We have a meeting, all the implementers. I have one, and then I have a little bit time with myself where I go through my data of the past week. How much activity did I have? What did it result to? Who did I connect to, right? So having that check-in with yourself so you don't find yourself at the end of the year, you're like, oh, I didn't make any money. I have no idea why. And then none of the activity is fresh in your mind and you can't go back and figure out why it is so. So that would be number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is have a vision. And the vision should be, if you're a single owner, it's a twofold vision. It's, where do I want my business to be? And where do I want me as a person to be? And you pick a date starting from anywhere from 5 to 30 years from now. And you're like, where do I want this business to be in 5 years? Where do I want to be in 5 years? Now, we do it on a business side. We sit with business owners and we figure out the vision. We sit with the whole leadership team and it's super important to get them on the same page. But when you're just yourself, you want to get that business there. But I like to also do it personally for myself. You can integrate it with your business, but if you're trying to create a business that's scalable beyond your life, then you would want to separate it. And where does your business want to be? Okay, so I want to be in 5 years doing X. I go a little like create, paint a picture. Like, do I want to have a certain amount of locations? Do I want to be, you know, known for the e-com queen or whatever, right? Then you bring it down to a three-year picture and you don't go deep. We don't spend a lot of time making like long strategic plans. The idea is to paint a picture in your brain. Where do I want to be in 3 years? Then we bring it in to 1 year and we only do 5 to 7 goals because less is more. When you focus on too many things, then nothing gets done. Then we bring it down to 90-day rocks, we call it. The idea of rocks is that if you had all the time, if you have like a ball jar in front of you, and this term was popularized by Van Harnish, if you have a ball jar in front of you and that's all the time you have, and you have big rocks, sand, pebbles, and water, you try to get everything into the jar. You start with the pebbles, sand, and water, then the big rocks don't fit. But if you put the big rocks first, and then you do the pebbles, sand, and water, everything fits beautifully. So you look at that one-year plan and say, what do I need to do within the next 90 days to get to my one-year plan? Okay, I need to get my website revamped. Great, that's a rock. Right? And for the next 90 days, we focus on that. And you got to stay focused. Then you're going to find yourself in 90 days, boom, your project is done. And then you pick off another thing versus focusing on too many things at once. So I guess it's data, vision, and priorities.
So powerful, just so actionable. And it's really a strategic way of approaching like that to-do list that never ends, right? Which is so incredible. You mentioned you have a meeting with all the implementers. How many implementers are there?
Right now, there are 580 implementers worldwide. We've conducted over, I would say, 150,000 full-day sessions in 16,000 companies.
Wow. That is incredible. And are you the only from female implementer?
So there is Esther Mandelowitz in Israel.
Oh, really?
Yes. And there is Amy Holtz in Pennsylvania. You know, I would say I'm the only Heimisha implementer, New York, New Jersey, right. Connecticut area. But Amy has a lot of clients in New York and New Jersey, and she's awesome, and I love her, and we spend a lot of time together.
That is so cool. This was so incredible and so really, really eye-opening and just so refreshing to hear such a strategic, systematic way to approach like everything when it can feel so overwhelming. I'm curious, maybe as almost a closing message, what would you say? You come from this entrepreneurial background where you're a third generation female entrepreneur, and you, like you said, you grew up in this world. And I think that's pretty rare.
Really?
How many women in our community could say, like, my mother had a business and her mother had a business? I don't know.
But even more so, I think a lot of us, our fathers have businesses, right? But how many fathers included their kids in right. business? I punched a time card from when I was 8. And by the time I was 12, I asked for a raise.
You've always been doing this.
Yes.
Wow. So that is a rare experience. I think a lot of women feel like they are like they have to break through barriers, like preconceived notions or this idea of like what a good mother does in order to be pursuing their dreams and building a business. And I'm curious, like, what would you say to those women?
So on the business side, I would say find out if you're really an entrepreneur. And I know it sounds harsh. The way to find out is to read Gino Wickman's book called Elite. And he has a short assessment that you take, and it's about the 6 principles of an entrepreneur. They are, you know, having a vision. Vision means being able to see around corners, not what's right in front of you. It's about being passionate beyond money. Like, if you're not making money for a year, you're starting a business, the first year, you're not making any money. Can you go beyond that? I'm so passionate about empowering women. I don't care if I make money or not. I'm still going to do it, right? The next one is you got to be a problem solver. You got to be able to find solutions. My husband always tells me, every problem is just an opportunity that hasn't been recognized yet. You got to have that mindset. The next one is you got to be driven. You got to work extra long hours towards your goal. You gotta want to put in the work. And then it's gotta be a risk taker. You know, being a risk taker, it's a spectrum. Can you stomach $100,000 worth of risk? Can you stomach $1 million worth of risk? Find out where do you like lay on the scale of risk taking. And the last one, which I think is the most important one, is responsibility. You have to take responsibility for your actions. When a business owner tells me, I am so good, but my employees are terrible, I'm like, you hired them. You need to take responsibility that you created this business. You created the system. You made those decisions, right? So number one, find out if you're an entrepreneur, because if you are not, or if you're lower scale, then you're just going to be frustrated. You're going to get defeated all the time. So I don't know if that answers what you're asking, but also, you know what? Change the narrative for the future.
Yeah.
Teach your kids about money. Teach your kids about running a business. Teach them how to negotiate. My son came home and said, you know, the Rebbe wanted XYZ. I said, okay, great. So tomorrow, do you want to go and ask him? And he was first like, are you not going to call him? I'm like, no, you're a big boy. You're 8 years old. Go and do it yourself. I'm teaching him how to be a salesman from when he's very young. It's biting me because then he negotiates with me other stuff, right? But I'd rather empower him that way. Yeah. So, you know, if you didn't have those skills, at least give it to your kids and learn. And you know what? I'm going to finish off with this last thing. I think it's time for us Jewish women to go out there and find knowledge from the outside world. We don't have to assimilate, but we should get more informed. There's so many resources out there. You don't have to recycle your own knowledge. It's time to get out there. Join a webinar. Join something. Listen to people that have things to offer and get smarter.
So powerful. And I love that your initial response was, are you really an entrepreneur? This is a conversation I had recently with someone who was promoting being a business owner. I said, but it's not for everyone. She said, that's only if you think that being a business owner has to happen one way. There are so many ways to own a business. So that's true. And I still think it's not for everyone. And I mean,
a majority of the listeners of this podcast are business owners, and probably many, many of them are cut out for it and they're meant to be doing this. And I think that people who own businesses and talk to people who own businesses highlight the benefits, and there are so many, and it's an incredible, incredible position to be in. And it's still not right for everyone. And if someone who it's not right for has been pushing and pushing to make it work for them gets like to hear that maybe it's just not who you are, maybe it's not what you're meant to be doing, that could be so liberating to know like this might not be for you.
I want to like make sure that I'm very clear. Entrepreneurship is a spectrum. Could be they are business owners, but there is, you know, being an independent, licensed contractor. There is owning a franchise. I own a franchise, right? That's my level of entrepreneurship. I could not go out there and create something myself. That's too high risk for me, yeah. Right? There is being a business owner of 3 employees. That's getting a little bit serious. There's being a business owner of 20 employees and of 200 employees. Now, when you set your vision, get really real with you. How much entrepreneurship can you handle? How much risk? How much accountability? How many people could you manage, right? Maybe you're at the far end of the spectrum where you're like a solo entrepreneur and that's where you want to stay. So before you'd say, I want to expand and I want to have 5 locations, is that truly who you are? So you can still go and take this assessment and find out where on that spectrum are you in entrepreneurship.
Yeah, that clarifies. Wow. So much food for thought and so many practical, actionable takeaways. Like you really, really made this so meaty. I would love for you to just highlight the one next step. Like what are you challenging listeners to right now?
Well, the majority of our listeners are moms, right?
Yep.
I would challenge people, which is, this is something that I didn't talk about, but this relates to it, is to get rid of the guilt. Guilt is something that will hold you back. And the only way to get rid of the guilt is to define your priorities. What do I really want? How much time do I really enjoy spending with my kids? Where do I want to put the rest of my time? You know, I'll be very honest. I don't go a lot to simchas. I don't go to second cousins that are marrying off. It's just not something that I'm passionate about. Maybe because I have little kids and I'll get older and my kids will get married, I'll want to do that. But right now, I would spend rather time with my husband on a date or my sisters on a date than go to simcha. But that's my priority. So when I get an invitation in the mail that from a second cousin that's marrying off, I'll maybe shoot them a text and it'll be so nice to see you or not. Or like I would say, mazel tov and whatever. And I won't show up and I won't feel guilty about it. Yeah. So figure out how you can get rid of that guilt.
I love it. Just so much goodness. I'm really excited for listeners to hear this and to run with it.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Khan, for having me. This was awesome. You're just so lovely. And I think that you're doing Hashem's work, right? In your own way of giving women that safety and that place where they can say, hey, like on the outside, I'm really looking fine, but inside I'm really falling apart. That's a conversation we need to have more.
Yes, we do. And I'm sure we will be schmoozing.
Yes. Thank you so much, Hannah.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on.
My pleasure.
Take care, Rachi.
Thanks for hanging out with me today. As always, head to lifeworkspodcast.com because that's where the party's at. Drop a comment, #ILifeWorked, on this episode to let our community know that you took the challenge and encourage others to do the same. If you want to hear more about what I do for mompreneurs and how we can work together, reach out, Hannah@lifeworkspodcast.com. Wishing you a day of work and life that work to bring you tremendous fulfillment and joy. Till next time, I'll see you here. And again, thanks for being a part of our incredible community.